One of those friends is Robert Pinsky, America's Poet Laureate between 1997 and 2000. He says that Czesław Miłosz and he became close when they were both teaching at the University of California, Berkeley.
We were together in Berkeley for many years, from 80 to 89, and those were important years for Poland and for Czesław.
There are people who say that he wrote his best poetry in America.
You could argue that. It was a very long, very prolific career. You know, he did translations of the scriptures. He wrote a treatise on rhyme. He wrote comical poems. He wrote sexy sensual poems. Terrifically interested in religion. He certainly wrote great poetry during those many years in California.
One of the most interesting things about him, of course, is there is this intersection of cultures. There's Lithuania, Poland, France, the United States.
Yes.
How important is that in terms of his poetic vision, in terms of the way in which he spoke to people across cultures?
Immensely important. And I think he imbibed that even in his own provincial city, then called Vilno, now Vilnius. He lived in a place that was Polish, Jewish, and Lithuanian. Vilno was called the Jerusalem of the North. It was a university center. So he began his life very aware that there were many kinds of people in the world, many cultural strands.
To be a poet of world stature, one must be an exquisite artist, of course, and be able to crystallize personal images in very specific words. But one must also touch the universal in human experience. How did Miłosz do that? And what was it about his poetry that had universal appeal? Was it the individual struggle against tyranny or the experience of exile?
The paradox is that it was by being very, very faithful to his own provinciality. In a way, if he had not been in exile, he might not have been as much of a world poet. In Bypassing Rue Descartes, he describes all the people from Romania, from Asia, all coming to Paris as the capital of the world. And by the end of the poem, he's saying there is no capital of the world. He has the kind of universality that comes not from straining after universality, but being true to very, very simple and direct things.
Are there any lines from Miłosz's poems that serve as a touchstone for your life?
His poem Incantation, Human Reason, is beautiful and invincible. No bars, no barbed wire, no pulping of books, no sentence of banishment can prevail against it. And it does not know Jew from Greek or slave from master, giving us the estate of the world to manage. Beautiful and very young are philosophia and poetry, her ally in the service of the good.
Whose translation is that?
That's my translation. Czesław spoke very good English. She had a successful career as a teacher of Slavic languages at Berkeley. Dostoevsky. But he was very aware that in poetry, nuances of idiom and rhythm are very important. So with Renata Gorczynski and Czesław supplying the trots, Bob Hass and I undertook to make English versions.
American poet Bob Hass and Polish literary critic and translator Renata Gorczynska were a major part of Miłosz's years at Berkeley.
The most mature, the most profound poetry, in my opinion, was written during those years. He was a difficult character, I must say, because it was very difficult to reach him. But once you were accepted as a friend, then he was a very warm person and with a weird sense of humor.
Aleksander Fiut, professor of Polish literature at Jagiellonian University in Krakow, is the author of two books on Miłosz. Professor Fiut, whose friendship with the poet began when they were both living in Paris, describes Miłosz's humor as sardonic.
It sounds like an anecdote, but perhaps it's interesting and colorful. After his Nobel Prize lecture, he left the building of Swedish Academy, and we together and his family went in a very luxurious black limousine to McDonald's. I am recalling this story because it's a good illustration of his sense of humor and the distance toward any kind of fame.
Professor Fiut says that Miłosz's exile from his homeland was the product of two different forms of totalitarianism, Nazi and communist.
He left Lithuania in 1940 during the invasion of the Soviet army in Vilno. Then he spent the whole Nazi occupation in Warsaw. And after the Second War, he was, for a short time, representative of the communist government as chargé d'affaires of culture in first New York and then Washington and then in Paris. And in 1951, he decided to stay for good and to be an emigre writer.
Literary critic Renata Gorczynska says that the Nobel laureate was fully aware of his poetic stature.
But it doesn't mean that he spoke about it openly. He was surprised. I became his personal secretary right after his being given the Nobel Prize. He knew that he was shortlisted. I think that what he wanted us, his readers, to do is to think deeper about the world around ourselves. He was very concerned with the problem that something that is highly personal, particular, becomes generalized, becomes universal. And in that process, the I, so to speak, disappears. Actually, it was a very difficult time, especially for the people from that communist bloc, to be able to participate in the universal culture, in the Western culture.
I asked the American poet Robert Pinsky about his most enduring memories of Czesław Miłosz.
His laugh was very distinctive. It simultaneously expressed pleasure and bemusement. It was a very hearty, oh, 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 and that kind of frown of concentration. And he liked food and wine and conversation. He was a moralist, but not a solemn or humorless man in the least.
You visited him shortly before his death.
He was rather courtly, as always, rather magisterial, as always, ready to amuse, as always, and we were also aware that it was very likely it was the last time we talked to one another. And it was moving and illuminating to see this absolute survival of the spirit of the person through what was clearly very close to the end.
Poets, friends, and literary critics agree that the crucial theme in the poetry and prose of Czesław Miłosz is that of identity. And perhaps he continues to speak to so many people because the question of identity is also central to our time. For Dateline, I'm Judith Latham.